Okay, official happy birthday, Jackie.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, Sunday morning, 7/17/22. Hey, 17.
There you go.
Yeah. All right, this is the Prophet's Corner Uncut. The title is "The Solving Knotty Problems." Solving Knotty Problems. I actually thought that word was in the Bible. It's not. There might be other translations that uses that word, but it's not. Not knotty. Because I love. So, all right. Probably. All of us have areas in our lives that we have to overcome. And comes with it knotty problems. These are situations and things in our life that it just seems like no matter what we do, there's just something there. All right? We've done everything we know to do with little or no results. I believe the Lord has given me some insight into these knotty problems. So that's what we're going to look at today. All right, man's plan versus God's plan. Yeah. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. Then yes, shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me, when you shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place where I caused you to be carried away captive. Think, well, what does that mean and what does that apply to me? Isn't the knotty problem a place where you're held captive? You go round and round and round trying to figure out. Seem like other things come and go and you can handle those, but there seems to be a knotty problem that you just can't get past. Yeah. All right. This is what a knot is. This is just Webster's Dictionary. A tight constriction. Or why can't I hear from you about this? Also means something hard to solve or an entanglement. Yeah. Let's look at Galatians 5:1. It talks about that, being entangled. It says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Right here in the Strong's, entangled means to hold in or upon, to keep a grudge. I thought, ooh, to keep a grudge. Okay. Proverbs 16:9, a man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. In other words, men have their own ideas, their own mind about things, and they plan their ways, but God is the one that directs the steps. Big difference, isn't it? He's directing the steps. We may plan our way, but if we're going to follow Him, we will have to wait until He gives us the steps, right? Not just plunge ahead like what we think's best. Okay. Kind of like Balaam. You know, I was thinking about, I didn't put Balaam in here, but the thoughts of Balaam, that knot in the road, that angel with the sword standing there. God trying to deal with Balaam. Here Balaam is a prophet of the Lord, but then he's going with these demon worshipers and accommodating them. We can toil and spin over things and get no results, but God has a plan. That's the solving of knotty problems. And I'm going to read to you. I kind of wrote down some highlights. One time, this was a lady that, she was an acquaintance, not really a friend, but an acquaintance. She's more of a friend of a friend. And they were married, and their daughter was married to a doctor, and something had happened with his practice or something, and just a bunch of problems. I never knew all the ins and outs, but I was asked to pray about it, so I prayed about it. And I don't know if they were aggravated at their son-in-law. I don't know what the situation was, but what I saw in the spirit was a pile of knots, rope, all tied in knots. And the Holy Spirit said to me, tell them, if they will continue to walk in love in this situation, then I will untie every knot. So I thought, I gave it. Now, I don't know what happened. That's been many years ago. So I don't know what happened. I guess it all worked out. You know, when we get into those problems, especially with family involved or outlaws involved, you can tend to get into the flesh and, you know, you don't love them like you love your own. You can overlook. When you love somebody, you can overlook. But when they're somebody you just kind of maybe tolerate, or you know what I'm saying, it's harder for you to extend that grace. Yeah, okay. Let's read Job 1 and 2 here. I'm not going to read the whole book of Job, just 1 and 2. Well, this is later in the teaching, but I'll go ahead and bring it up since Holy Spirit brought it up. Our last couple of years, or it's been nearly 2 years, December will be 2 years, we started all these projects, and we have come into one naughty problem after another. And the Lord's brought us to the place that He said, speak what you want. Instead of targeting the people, getting aggravated over the people and their incompetence or not keeping their word, target the devil instead of the person. It seemed like the further we got into it, the more the naughty problems became. I mean, it was like, dear Lord, this is the worst thing. And you know, when we target people, that's not the love walk. I figure, in fact, I kind of chuckled about it. I thought I could see myself, some of these people trying to get over here and work, it's like something tied their feet up and they couldn't even get here. They didn't even know why they couldn't be here. It's really easy to be lovely whenever things are going right and people are doing things right. But when everything that you're endeavoring to do, someone is screwing you over, or somebody's not doing right, somebody's not keeping their word, it's not quite as easy to walk in love in that situation. You want to lash out in your flesh and say, well, that's not right, bless God, and I'm going to do da 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 da. Well, is it worth getting that done and getting what you think's right over love, that love never fails? See, we are putting up with these naughty problems because of this. Now, I've told you before, God's not going to turn anybody loose to do anything until character is developed. Not anything of significance. It has to be dealt with, period. He can't send you out there with His power to heal the sick and maybe raise the dead and do things, and you're going to rail on somebody on the phone, or somebody cuts you off in traffic and you curse them. James says, out of his mouth comes sweet and bitter. This ought not to be so. That's what James says. See, God can't use someone like that, because our words are powerful. But we can't use those words like a weapon against people. It's to help people. All right, Job 1. There was a man in the land of Uz. His name was Job. That man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. Oh, let me stop here. During when all this stuff started with all the stuff that we were doing, the Lord spoke to me. He said, you're going to be going through a season of Job-like things. So that's why I'm reading Job. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the East. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their three sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about that bout, that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. The Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hath not thou made an hedge about him, about his house, and all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord, and there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I am only escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven, hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Sounds like a fake news crew, huh? Only one person left to tell the bad tale. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb. Naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. All right. Now we're going to see what kind of family and friends he had. The family had left. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. The Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity? Although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord, and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? And all this did not Job sin with his lips. Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came every one from his own place, Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite and Zophar the Naamathite, for they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. When they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept, and they rent every one his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads toward heaven. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and none spoke a word unto him, for they saw that his grief was very great. Now from about chapter 3 to about chapter 40 or so, his friends begin to ream him out one by one. But Job never did accuse God. He never did anything that was unseemly. All right, we don't know all the reasons why God allowed these things to happen to Job, but I want to show you here in 42. All right, 42 verse 10. After all this was over, God rebuked his friends. And he said to Job, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. You know, I'm thinking, Lord, why did you have us do all these projects during a time that everything's sky high, everything cost twice as much as it would have? And then we've had to come back and undo things that people have done and pay more money for a mistake somebody made and wouldn't come back and fix. I don't know. I guess he's seeing what you're made of. You know, it's real easy to trust God when you have everything. That's kind of was his situation, right? And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. They were nasty. Like, with friends like that, who needs enemies? You might go read the book. He prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Even got vengeance on that crabby old woman he lived with. Then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house, and they bemoaned him and comforted him all over the evil that the Lord had brought upon him, every man, which it was the devil. Also brought him a piece of money and everyone an earring of gold. I'm thinking, where were they in the midst of all this? So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than the beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she asses. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. There's the payback on the woman. 10 more kids. And he called the name of the first Jemima, and the name of the second Keziah, and the name of the third Karen Hapuk. In all the land there were no women found as fair as the daughters of Job, and their fathers gave them inheritance among their brethren. After this, Job lived 140 years. Well, that's the best part. Saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations, so Job died being old and full of days. Well, we really don't know all the reasons Job had to go through all those things, but Job had to forgive. He had to forgive. All right, all his friends turned against him, his wife turned against him. Job had to forgive them and go on. We have realized the last couple of years that this was all a test. I began daily saying to the Lord, Lord, does everything have to be a test? Yeah. I was complaining one day about those knots and asking the Lord about what are we supposed to do, and it was crickets. And then I heard a voice, still a small voice, say to me, didn't I tell you could have what you say? Why are you getting all caught up in the problem and saying what you already have? You're just making the knot pile bigger. He didn't say it in those words, but that's pretty well what he was saying. I said, oh, yeah, right. He did in Job's case. I know the Bible says God caused it, but God like Brother Hagin always used to teach, it's a permissive. He permitted Satan to do these things to test Job's quality. Job 3:25? Well, let's look at that. Okay. All right. For the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of has come unto me. Yeah. Well, maybe that's true, and maybe it's not. I don't know. I used to think that, but, you know, we'll use that for now. You know, could be a reason. There was a door open. If we have a door open, yeah, most definitely. Okay. But sometimes when you hadn't done nothing at all, you're just going to have to walk through a test. See, this is training for reigning here. This is building character. And yeah, everybody wants to be blessed, but walking through the test is something else, you know. But it's as much a part of it as the other. Okay, let's keep going here. All right, Genesis 2:19. We've read this mega times. We'll probably read it mega times more. 2:19. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name of thereof. So we've got to be careful we're not calling people names and stupid idiots. You know what I'm saying? You moron, you know. Just think about it. You're snared with the word of your lips. You're taken, it says, with the word of your lips. How will you ever develop your faith if you never have any obstacles? See, obstacles are that mountain Jesus was talking about in Mark 11. Say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea. Shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that things which he says come to pass, you'll have whatever you say. That's what an obstacle is. This time has been twofold. Yes, we speak to the mountains that stand in our way, but there's another key ingredient that goes with faith that we cannot forget. Galatians 5:6. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Faith works by love, not by criticism, not by complaining, not by grumbling, not by accusing. See, the enemy would have you rail on people. That's right out of his camp. See, he's unmerciful, he's unforgiving, he knows nothing of love, nothing. And so he would incite us against people to act like him. See, Satan tempted Job, God didn't. God doesn't tempt any man. All the delays, all the knots in the way of progress, and you're maintaining your love walk and not writing on people for their faults that seem to be deliberately aimed at you. See, that's what will eventually happen, just like with Job, when we fail to give our ears to the voice of the enemy to rail in our flesh, to try to take it into our own hands to work it out. Why won't this person call me? I've left message after message after message after message, and they just won't call. Is that a naughty problem? Yeah, it is. And take it a step further. We've just had to get change now, let go another lawn care service, and go back to the one we originally had. And I'm thinking, okay, Lord, how do we tell people don't use him other people without saying something negative? What can you do? Say, I guess what good they did. They all had their merits. And they had a pile of not merits. See, we have to choose our words. We have to choose, do we want to advance forward in the kingdom that walks by love? See, love doesn't take an account of a suffered wrong. Beareth all things, believeth all things. See, when you go with the flesh, there's your gratification right there. Well, I told them. And that's all the gratification you're going to get. You just cut off your faith line. I know it's not easy. It isn't. I can remember just, it's just, you just want to scream. Like, God, I can't take this anymore. Well, that doesn't do any good. All right, we're going to read about what love is. All right, let me say this. I will have to say that this week we've had a couple of those knots come loose because we have been blessing people, forgiving people, and speaking to the mountain and binding the real enemy, the devil. We had a couple of things just kind of resolve themselves that have been knots. Knots in our stomach. Knots in front of our face. But they just kind of resolved themselves. All right, 1 Corinthians 13. Well, I'll tell you one of them. Danny went to the local nursery we have here, home-owned. And he's telling the lady that pretty well runs the place, her and her husband, but she's very knowledgeable. Here we're going round and round the mulberry bush, been really nearly a year in getting our tree planted and the flower bed done. Well, she's telling him, you don't need a tree there. Because those two trees you've got are going to have a 40-foot canopy. Those are going to be humongous trees. You don't want a tree there. And you don't. It's the wrong time of year to plant. And you don't want to plant in your flower bed. It's too late. It's too hot. All of a sudden, there was a knot gone. Saved us, $3,000 or $4,000? Well, anyway, it was a considerable amount of money. It's so refreshing to actually talk to somebody that actually knows something about something. Because we're dealing with people, and I'm sure because of the way things are, just getting good help. And on top of that, getting somebody that's in this kind of business that actually knows what they're doing and knows what kind of chemicals to spray or knows what to do. Because our grass was all dying. Here we're paying all this money, and the grass is all dying. And this guy that we used to use, we're going to be using again, he said, you got grub worms. Here he's pouring the water to it, everything you know to do, trying to work on the sprinkler heads. Grub worms. That's why he went to this lady. Now they're not solved. See? But it doesn't take many knots to start getting a pile of knots. And it's just like, I can't even go there in my mind anymore. I'm so to the end of these knots. You just finally say, Lord, I cast the care on you and I'm going to speak what I want. You just have to get it out of your mind. That too simple? I mean, if it's got to be practical. It's got to be on a level that we can understand and put an application to our life. Or what good is it? None. All right, First Corinthians 13, 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, which should have been translated love here, I and become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. You know, and the place that we live in today with so many people on the left that are following Satan's narrative, in the few instances that we've seen where someone on the right sowed in an act of kindness that it actually turned the heart of one of these hardcore demonized people. It's kind of like that movie, Les Miserables, or whatever, however you call it. When Hugh Jackman, you know, was stealing that stuff out of the church, I can't even remember what it was. And this sheriff, he knew he did it, and he was going to, you know, capture him and probably put him in prison, probably for the rest of his life. And the priest comes out and says, no, I gave it to him. The priest knew he still stole it. Well, it changed this man, turned him completely around, sent him in a new direction. You know, our love walk can't be just, I love you. It has to be action. See, people that throw a hissy fit, and you look and you see that, you think, ugh, it's just like something goes all over you. So yuck. But when somebody does something like an act of kindness, that young man, there was a young man, I guess the house was burning. He goes in the house, finds all these little kids by themselves, and leads them out of the house, and then he realizes they say there's one more in there. So what he does, he goes in a smoke-filled house, crawls on the floor, finds a little kid, and then jumps out a 3- or 4-story window with the child. 25-year-old young man. You just think, wow, he laid down his life. I mean, he did. Is that love? Yeah, that's love. That's love in action. Love lays down their life for another. That's what Jesus did for us. He laid down his life for us. Amplified says, love does not take account of a suffered wrong. Hate has caused our nation to be filled with naughty problems. Everywhere you look, everything is all messed up. Everything is just all twisted in knots. Men can have babies in periods. Children, little children in school, 3 to 5 years old, they're pushing critical race theory and teaching them, giving them, have books in the library that shows explicit homosexual relationships and transgender assessment. All this stuff, pushing on our kids. You think that's not twisted? What do you think a knot is? It's a twist and a turn. God allows us to go through things as part of our training. He will stand there and let you endure the hardness to build character. They say Job only went through about 9 months to a year, the ordeal he went through. Thinking, oh, I wish ours had only been a year. When God turns the power loose, he can't have you cursing but blessing. I guess I better read that in James. I'll see if I put it down, because that's the second time that's come up. Well, let's look over in James. I think I read it a few weeks ago. Well, here, this would just be good. It's talking about the royal law. Chapter 2, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. You can't. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and that's not homosexual clothing, by the way. That used to be a real word you could actually use without that connotation. And say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you, and draw you before the judgment seat? Do not they blaspheme that worship thy name by which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect of persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. I remember Brother Hagin talking about speaking words. He said, I always try to weigh before I say something to someone how that word that I'm going to say is going to affect that person, whether it's a good thing or a bad thing. And on the other side of that, the royal law is we treat people the way we want to be treated. We don't treat people according to how they have treated us. Yeah. All right, turn over to Luke 23:34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his garment and cast lots, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answered, rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. See, people can be so mean, so cruel, so ugly. Is it any wonder when someone does something lovely, it stands out like a bright star in a dark sky? All right, Luke 4. Now, this is the temptation of Jesus. And we've read it so many times, I'm not even going to read it today. But I want to pick up with verse 14 there. After Jesus went through all this temptation, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. When he'd opened the book, he found the place where it was written, The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus came out to set people free, loose them from knots. Listen from knots. His commission is our commission, to set people free from Satan's rule or reign over them. We are not here to fight and argue. Satan has them all tied up in knots. We're to loose those knots. Bless and curse not, no matter what is done to you, for this is the way of the kingdom. I reign on the just and the unjust alike. For I so loved the world that I gave my only begotten Son. I'm long-suffering, not willing that any should perish. Imagine a world with no hate, and only where love makes the call, heaven and earth. Time to choose the high ground. All your frustration should be aimed at the enemy of your soul and never at people. Make this a way of life, and you will see the knots begin to loosen in your own life. You're here to reign, but you're also here to serve. Okay, Mark 10. Bob Dylan, you're going to have to serve somebody. Mark 10:43. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. You're going to have to serve somebody. You're going to have to serve somebody. I've never cared for that voice. But anyway, that was a good song. All right. 1 John 4. But you're going to have to serve somebody. Is that better? All right. 1 John 4:7. That would have been a good song to sing. Didn't think about that one. Beloved, let us love one another. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. We have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. We have known and believed the love that God hath in us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is love made perfect, that we have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God and hate his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that we who loveth God love his brother also. Verse 1, we'll just read verse 1 here of 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. See, this is because of love. Overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? All right. John 13:35. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. All right, 2 Corinthians 5:14, the first part of that says, for the love of God constraineth us. Now, Brother Hagin's book is probably one of the best books that I've ever read on love, and he tells about a time where they went to preach for this minister, and he said the people, the whole time they were there, never offered them a morsel of food. Never offered to take them to lunch. I don't know if they even got an offering from them the whole time they were there. They would get up early, come in late, never offered them anything, never took them anywhere. And he wanted to call the district so bad on him. And he said, I'd get up to call the phone, call him on the phone. And he said, the love of God had constrained me. And then a deacon came around. He could have unloaded on that deacon and all hell would have broke loose in that church over that. But the deacon, he didn't say anything to him. He said, I got a deep freeze in my back, on my back porch right down the street. He said, you just come up there and you just get whatever you need out of there. And, you know, so they got him some food. He said, all that was in the refrigerator was an egg, a wiener, and I think a piece of bread. That was it in the whole house. He tells of a time that he went to preach for somebody and they had a nice brick church and a nice brick parsonage, but he got to stay in the chicken coop. They put him on a cot and then they didn't even wash the chicken droppings off of it for 2 weeks. See, God proved Brother Hagin and his love walk. Why did he operate in the power he did? Why was he one that never had to go to the doctor for anything except the time that he fell and he had to have a little surgery on his arm? No other time, except when the doctors gave him up for dead when he was a 15-year-old boy. He didn't have to go to the doctor for nothing. He walked by faith. His faith saw him through. Why? He had a high love walk. Well, he was a prophet. No, we had a high love walk. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They'll do this. It didn't say because you're a prophet or anything else. It says believers. These signs follow believers. Sure is quiet in here. All right, we're going to look at some scriptures. We're going to water the seed I just planted. 1 Peter 4. If you want to just listen and let me do it, I will. Whatever. 1 Peter 4, 8. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality to one another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise, dominion forever and ever. Amen. All right, 1 Corinthians 14, 1. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. Follow after charity. Galatians, these are not in order. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Okay, Romans 13:10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. It's not the Ten Commandments law, it's the royal law. 1 Corinthians 7:5. Defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your inconsistency, is that it? Incontinency. This is talking about, well, let's just read to qualify this. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise all to the wife and to the husband. The wife hath not power over her own body with the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power over his own body with the wife. All right, talking about not defrauding one another. All right, that's, let's see, 7:5, 1 John 3. Yeah, Brother Hagin talks about women thinking they were too holy for that. Yeah. 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Ooh, that's strong. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby we perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. You know, I didn't write this scripture down, but thinking about suing people. In the church it says, why not rather just suffer wrong? Just suffer wrong. I mean, I guess we could have had some lawsuits over this, couldn't we? About some people that didn't do right. But to say, okay, Lord, I'm just going to eat it. I'm going to forgive them. I'm going to go on. That's the biblical way. Paul said it's unheard of, a brother taking a brother to court. Happens all the time. All those shows with all the judges, you know, those show judges. Here's somebody coming there suing their parents, or their parents suing the kids. I'm thinking, that is just horrible. It's better to suffer wrong. Okay. John 13. See, love never fails. Love never fails. You might go sue somebody and you might get a little something out of them, but it says love never fails. You'll get the best return you'll ever get by overlooking it. It may not happen on Saturday night, but down the road, for whatever reason that, 13:34. A new commandment I give unto thee, that ye love one another as I've loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, for if ye have love one to another. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus said, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me later. Well, you know what? On down the road, Peter learned what the Lord meant. All right, Romans 13. I figure Peter was one of these, why? 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 When? 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 He wanted to have an explanation, but when you tell him you need to forgive your brother not seven times a day, but 70 times seven, he's going, oh, God, increase our faith. Well, if you want to increase your faith, then I guess you will forgive, unlimited. All right, what did I tell y'all? Romans 13, all right, 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Yep. James chapter 2. We read 2. I'll read 8 and 9. If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin, are convinced of the law as transgressors. And don't think, I just can't do it. Another story of Brother Hagin. He had a couple that I think they were going to get a divorce, and he had been physically abusive to his wife. Anyway, they come to Brother Hagin, and he told them to write down 1 Corinthians chapter 13 on index cards and read them every morning and every evening. And it turned their marriage into heaven and earth. Not overnight, but they began to realize where she was a nag, and he hit her and things, and he shouldn't have done it. It completely transformed their thinking. See, you have to renew your mind to love. If you're used to being ugly and abusive and just being crabby and ugly to people, that doesn't just disappear because you hear a few scriptures. They had to actually eat it and digest it to where it could make a difference. All right, James, Romans 5:5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So it's in there. It's a fruit of the Spirit. All right, Galatians 5. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed of one another, one of another. Love gives its gives faith its power. Ephesians 4:32. Be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know, I'm trying to watch myself and I'm listening to programmers that don't agree with me. I know they're not right in what they're saying. Instead of hollering back at them, I'm saying, Lord, they're where they're at. Help them to see the truth. You know, that's just what you have to do. Because I'll say, no, 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 that's not right. It's not just in big things, it's in little things. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Telling Danny about how they're using that saying, death by a thousand cuts. Yeah, those little things. All right, that was 4:32, 1 Peter 3. Seven. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Okay. Colossians 3:13. Well, let's go up. Verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Mark 11:25. Now, I believe this scripture is probably mistranslated, but I'm going to give to you what I think about it. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. Well, I believe God's already forgiven. That's through Jesus Christ. But when you don't forgive, it's like the parable, which that would have been good scripture about the man that he was forgiven, but then he wouldn't forgive his fellow servants. Yeah. All of our sins are forgiven. This, okay. All right, Matthew 18. In other words, his own unforgiveness pretty well imprisoned him, built a prison around him. 18:21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. This is just the story I was telling you. We will read it. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven like unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. For as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children all that he had in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. His fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, I will pay thee all. And when he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. And then his Lord, after that he had called him and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother trespasses. In other words, the heavenly Father doesn't have a choice but to step back and let the devil do whatever because of your attitude. You opened the door. It's not Father causing it. He has to let that happen. A few more scriptures here. Luke 17. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. If he trespass against thee seven times a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Say, I can do it once, and then twice you're wearing thin. That's pretty well the way most people are. But seven times in a day? And Jesus told Peter, 7 times 70, 490 times a day. That's a lot. All right, James 5. All right, James 5, 14 and 15. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. It tells me here they probably stepped out of their love walks while they're sick in the first place. I know that's something Brother Hagin said. I always look at my love walk. Either I've disobeyed the Lord directly about something he told me to do, or I've stepped out of love. He said, I look in those two areas. Usually finds the answer to the problem. Okay, Psalms 34. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven, he holdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioned their hearts alike, and he considereth all their works. The Lord looks and he sees forgiveness. He doesn't look down in wrath on what's going on. He looks down in love. It's like I read to you that word. All right. All the delays, all the knots in the way of progress, and you maintaining your love walk and not rating on people for their faults that seem to be deliberately aimed at you. I will have to say that, okay, but what the Lord, where's the one? The Lord said something here. I wrote it down. Just a second, let me find it. All right here. Bless and curse not, no matter what is done to you, for this is the way of the kingdom of God. I reign on the unjust and the just alike, for I so loved the world that I gave my only begotten Son. I am long-suffering, not wanting that any should perish. Imagine a world with no hate and only where love makes the call. Heaven and earth, time to choose the high ground. All your frustration should be aimed at the enemy of your soul and never at people. Make this a way of life and you will see the knots begin to loosen in your own life. You're here to reign, but you are also here to serve. Okay. Ephesians 4:32. Be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. All right, Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. This is for kids, not... Well, it says children, but I think it applies to kids, period, all through their life. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Then he talks about fathers not provoking their children to wrath, but bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Then it talks about servants being obedient to their masters. Okay, 1 Corinthians 11. Just a few more. 11, 31, and 32. Well, he's talking about communion and those that eat and drink unworthily. But then it says in 31, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world. All right. They were getting out of love in their in taking of communion. Okay, Romans chapter 12. Nine and 10. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. It says you're not slothful in business. Yeah, I'd like to send that out to a few people, not sloughing business. Yeah. Matthew 5. Talk about a lot of teaching ahead. It's like we're having to start over. We are starting over. Matthew 5:33. Again, ye have heard that it hath been said by them of old time, thou shalt forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king, neither shalt thou swear by the... Am I reading the right thing? Yeah, I am. Okay. You cannot make one hair white and black, but let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatever is more than these cometh of evil. All right, I read it. I don't know why I put it there, but anyway. 43, not 32. Well, that could be. All right, let me turn back. All right. All right. Give her that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father who is in heaven, for he maketh his sun rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the unjust and the just. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father who is in heaven is perfect. Okay, Acts 7. 59. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Right, one more. Matthew 7:12. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. This is the higher ground. As we walk it, we will begin to see all the knots in the road gone. Love keeps things flowing. Okay.